Now, the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
And welcome, everyone, to the Monday edition of the Three Martini Lunch, along with Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Good, bad, and crazy martinis for conservatives on this Iowa caucus day. People actually starting to vote after months and months of buildup, and we have months and months of this to go before we have a nominee, potentially. But, Jim, breaking news. I'm sure you haven't heard this at all. Apparently, turnout's important tonight.
Let me give you some John Gruden-level analysis there, Greg. So the secret to winning the caucus is to have the most supporters show up. And let me tell you, this guy is a presidential candidate. He just wants the campaign. But they pay me the big bucks. Yeah, I mean, a lot of people think high turnout helps Trump. Lower turnout probably helps Cruz. But we're not going to know that until closer to 9 o'clock this evening Eastern, when people start showing up and we see big lines or we see short lines. And even then, there's a Rito. It's why they play the games. To offer one more football cliche.
Oh, man. Good stuff. All right. That's actually not the good martini. This is the good martini. On Friday, following the recording of our esteemed podcast, the State Department announced that it was not releasing 22 Hillary Clinton emails at all, not just redacted with only scraps of content, not at all, because it contained top secret information. And Catherine Herridge over at Fox News has since confirmed that it contains operational intelligence about important sources that could potentially compromise them. Oh, but Hillary Clinton is out to make sure that we are completely assured that she is completely in the clear on this. Here's how she discussed it with Clinton Foundation donor, ABC This Week host George Stephanopoulos on Sunday.
Why are you so confident that release would not compromise national security? What do you know about those emails that we don't?
Well, here's what I know. I know that this is, I think, a continuation of the story that has been playing out for months. There is no classified marked information on those emails sent or received by me. Dianne Feinstein, the ranking member of the Intelligence Committee, who's had a chance to review them, has said that this email chain did not originate with me and that there were no classification markings. So I do want them released. And, of course, I can't be clear about exactly what the reasons might be for some in the government as part of this interagency dispute to make this request, not to make them public.
Oh, Jim, we have now seen the evolution of this from there was no classified material to there were no classified markings to the email chain didn't start with me. Where does it go next?
I like the opening statement. This is what a continuation of a story that's been going on. That's like word tofu right there. It's like, I'm going to put this in the beginning of the sentence so it looks like I'm answering the question, when literally, like, you translate it into plain speak, it's, this happened. But so it sounds like the defense now is, well, it wasn't marked classified. So I guess, you know, because of her severe problems with the stroke after her fall and her concussion, she has no capacity to distinguish what could be, like, that for example, drone strike information might be classified, or satellite photos of North Korea. She has no way of telling that stuff is classified. But the defense from Clinton seems to be that, let's say you have a document with classified information on it. Like I said, there's information about drone strikes or satellite photos or something. If you take the label classified off of it, somehow it stops becoming classified. You get the scissors and you just cut it off the top of the page. Presto changeo! It's declassified. It's a really silly defense. Basically, we're reaching the Tinkerbell defense, where you just have to close your eyes and believe that it's not classified, and that makes it happen there, Greg. So the good news is, look, this is not going to go away. This kind of relates to our third martini, and she doesn't have a good defense, and she's going to keep insisting, no, your eyes and ears and everyone in the intelligence community and the inspector general, FBI director, everyone is lying to you. Trust her.
Exactly. I love how she started the answer, too. Anytime a politician says, well, here's the thing, or here's what I know, it means I'm completely blowing off your question. So yeah. Just hilarious to watch her try and dodge this with what limited political skills she has. All right, on to the bad martini now. And this is not necessarily in one way or another tied to our desire to see a campaign do well or do poorly, but it's just a dumb political move in the final stages of the Iowa campaign. Ted Cruz has been doing very well from late December into mid-January. Some of the latest polls now have Trump back on top, but it's still fairly competitive and maybe even close to the margin of error, depending on the poll. But in the final days of the campaign, the Cruz campaign, sent out this mailer to people in different parts of Iowa, basically calling them out as being derelict as part of the caucus process, giving them a grade, usually pretty poor, as to how much they've participated in recent years, and then listing a bunch of their neighbors and how poorly they've done, too, as basically a way to, I guess, to encourage them to get out and caucus this time around. But basically, when you got a campaign pointing the finger at you like a school marm, it's not exactly the best way to win people over.
This was just a stupid thing for some person on the Cruz campaign to do. It's not likely that Cruz himself signed off on this. You'd like to think that if somebody had brought this to him and said, "Hey, Senator Cruz, we know you're running on a platform of more freedom, rolling back the big government, rolling back the government, meddling in every small aspect of our lives. We're going to send an Orwellian Big Brother message to all potential supporters saying we're watching you. And you have violated the law by not voting," when everyone has a perfectly good right to not vote. You'd like to think Ted Cruz would have said, "Guys, let's alter this. Let's not do this." I know that at some point in the past, the Obama campaign did some version of this and had some success with it. Voting violation certainly gives you the impression that you're in trouble with the law, and the idea that somehow you're, unless you show up in caucus, the man's going to kick down your door. this is the sort of thing that Rand Paul has nightmares about. It just seems like a dumb mistake, a bad news cycle for him to end this caucus. We'll see how much it really hurts him tonight, but it just seems like the drive to win can make people do stupid things. And this was a stupid decision on the part of some staffer. I guess we should give him a little credit for owning up to it. But, just a little bit of common sense might have done him some more good.
Sometimes folks get a little too cute by half, and we'll see if that has any impact. I don't know if they'll ask about this in an exit poll, but not a smart way to close. All right, on to the crazy martini now, and back to the Clinton email scandal. You remember back at the first Democratic debate, the one where Jim Webb was grunting and complaining about time and Lincoln Chafee was begging to be heard at all? And the issue of Hillary Clinton's emails came up then, and of course, Bernie Sanders famously said this.
"The American people are sick and tired of hearing about your damn emails."
And so then he was asked by George Stephanopoulos on this very same program Hillary Clinton appeared on Sunday about how he's going to shed that Democratic Socialist label and still plan to win a general election.
"Can you win the general election? You heard what Secretary Clinton had to say about those other Democrats who are concerned that you, a Democratic Socialist, you're going to get slapped with that label, not going to be able to win in a general election."
Well, look, in terms of what people are going to get slapped with, look at the front pages today in terms of what Secretary Clinton is getting slapped with.
What is
it? But here is the point. Well, you know as well as I do, it has to do with emails.
It has to do with emails is about as subtle as you can put that, Jim, but it's a pretty important step from nobody cares about it. Maybe Bernie Sanders finally realizes he has a better shot at this than he did 3 months ago, and maybe he should care about this politically.
"Suddenly, I have a lot more interest in the damn emails." on the one hand, I suppose we should give him a little pat on the head. Thanks for noticing that this is the biggest weakness of your opponent, that maybe you should call attention to it and not hand wave it away and say that it's important. I guess I should give him you want to look who's getting slapped. Take a look at the front page. Look what she's getting slapped with. It's actually pretty good spin for Sanders. I'm sure at this point the Hillary Clinton campaign will say, "How dare Bernie Sanders call for Hillary to be slapped? He promotes violence against women. It's just like that op-ed he wrote." It's kind of frustrating that Bernie Sanders, we find ourselves rooting for the Democratic Socialist in the sense that we would like somebody on the left to acknowledge that this is actually kind of important. And you can't keep tons and tons of classified information on a private email server in complete defiance of the law and do it thousands of times and just think the laws don't apply to you. That's something really, equality under the law is kind of important to us. And it's I'd like to think Bernie Sanders would think this was important even if he was up by 20 points or if he was down by 20 points. So we'll take every little bit of acknowledgement from Sanders we can get. He's still kind of subtle about it. He's not as forthright about it as he could be, but we'll take it. But it is something of a bit of a backflip from his position in that first debate.
It's prediction time. Late March, Ted Cruz was the first one to get in this race, Jim. It's been over 10 months since this whole campaign started.
10 months or 10 years?
It certainly seems that way. A lot of people wondering whether the metrics of Ted Cruz are going to pull this off or the outsider push of Trump is going to do it. The same thing on the Clinton versus Sanders deal. I think it's going to be outsider night. I've wavered back and forth on this. I think it's going to be Trump and Sanders in the end. What are you thinking?
on the Republican side, I don't see a reason to think that we're going to get something dramatically different from what the polls say. So I think this looks at, you know, Trump in first place, a couple of points ahead of Cruz. Sounds like Rubio's coming on strong, but it's hard to see him getting a more than a third place. But that might be all he needs, and kind of give this attitude of, oh, it's a three-man race. And for everybody not comfortable with the other two, you know, Rubio's the guy. I think Sanders and Hillary are going to be very close, and I think it almost doesn't matter. I think for him, losing only by a little bit is almost as good as a win. He's going to win New Hampshire, and the perception will be this is a two-person race, and that it's you know, it's not hers to do it. If she does lose, I think it does create a slight sense of more of a panic sense on that side. She'll spin a 51-49 win as a huge deal. Yes, I'm giving Martin O'Malley nothing. Iowa voters may do the same. And that may end up being kind of, you know, whatever margin of victory, she'll insist it's a huge deal. But let's face it, she was up by like 40 points a year ago. And, you know, the entire story of this campaign has been Sanders bit by bit creeping up and indicating, one, there's a huge appetite for socialism amongst the Democrats, and two, she is just not what the Democratic base really wants in its hearts of hearts. And he's going to be well positioned to give her fits for a good long time.
Goal for the Republicans tonight: to know who actually won.
Yeah, it'd be a big step, wouldn't it? Well, Microsoft is providing the software this year. And what are the odds of Microsoft software crashing, right? Right, Greg?
Never happens.
So who won tonight? The blue screen of death. That's who won.
Oh, they'll be counting them by hand. Won't that be dramatic?
Oh, the second place, hanging Chad.
Oh, that's just a nightmare to even contemplate. Jim, enjoy the results tonight, hopefully, and we'll talk to you tomorrow.
Lots to talk about tomorrow. Take care, Greg.
Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Thanks for being with us today, and be sure to tune in again on Tuesday for the next 3 Martini Lunch.